So you can tell I'm actually new to cholera, so I am in a room full of experts and will beg your pardon if I can't answer your more cholera-related questions. What I can answer, hopefully, are your questions related to modeling cholera projects and to modeling cholera for prediction. So I just wanted to give you all a little bit of background about cholera. It's a bacterium. It looks like this with a flagellum in the back, and it produces a cholera toxin. I think most of us know that it causes watery diarrhea, rice water diarrhea, and that it's treated by IV fluid. And if it's treated, it has a very low case fatality rate, around 50%. If it's untreated, sorry, it has a treatment rate of about 1%. If it's untreated, it has a case fatality rate of 50%, which is clearly not good. So I wanted to briefly go over a little bit about cholera ecology, and this is more because people wonder why I would be looking at environmental factors that would predict cholera. And this is really to give you an idea that cholera is influenced by many direct and indirect effects, and that I'm looking at the macro level effects. So larger level influences like cholera for like temperature and salinity in the water and iron in the water influence the growth of flora and fauna in sort of the brackish waters where cholera likes to live. So cholera attaches, or people think that cholera attaches to flora in the water, in these brackish waters, and then are sort of also attaching or eaten by the larger fauna. So when we talk about cholera being attached to these little copepods, these little shrimp that people ingest, that's sort of how some think that it works. So in the brackish water, there are these plants and little microscopic animals. The cholera attaches to them, and then we ingest them. These are some of the waters where cholera likes to live, in these little brackish waters here. And these are in Bangladesh. And you can see that the sanitation level is not so good. These are hanging latrines over an area where people come to bathe. These are latrines that are actually built within household compounds, but the tubes from the latrines go directly into these areas where people are bathing and drinking. And this is actually a nicer latrine in a family's compound, but you can see it's only about 2 meters from the water, from the tube well water that they're drinking. So the aims of this project are to examine the role of these local environmental drivers, including things like sea surface temperature, sea surface height, ocean chlorophyll concentration, rainfall, river height, and see what their influence is on cholera. I'm going to compare the associations between the local environment and cholera across 2 study sites in Vietnam and then 1 study area in Bangladesh. And the idea, or what we're trying to do, is build a predictive model using these satellite-derived variables and in-situ variables, which are local-level variables, variables that you measure on the ground, to develop a cholera early warning system. You can see what our relative strengths are at the very end. But so the factors that we're interested in for cholera prediction are these environmental influences, things that we look at through satellites, things like ocean chlorophyll concentration, the sea surface temperature and height, the climatic in-situ variables, we're looking at temperature, rainfall, and river discharge that we measure on the ground in our study sites, and the dependent variable is actually an aggregate of cholera cases per month. We actually have a greater depth of data from Bangladesh, where we get our cholera information from the International Center of Diarrheal Disease and Research. But because in Vietnam, all we have are an aggregate of monthly cholera cases, for comparability, for this study, we look at aggregate values of cholera cases per month. And in Vietnam, our data comes from the census. So this is a study area in Bangladesh. This is Matlab. This is actually where the ICDDRB, the International Center for Diarrheal Disease Research site, is here in Matlab. And you can see that it's located at the confluence of the Ganga and the Menga rivers. So cholera in that area is endemic. There is always a measurable level of cholera, but you can see how it has these natural ebbs and flows. Like cholera follows a seasonal cycle there. So the dependent variable in Bangladesh is actually a relative cholera rate. And what I mean by this is that I looked at all Januaries, and I arranged all Januaries. So I had monthly cholera outbreaks in every January from 1982 to 2004. And within January, I looked at the 15% that had the most cholera cases, and then the middle groups, and then the lowest. So it's really a relative rank because of cholera seasonality. So the first model was just looking at severity of the 70th percentile. What months, what Januaries, in comparison to other Januaries, had the top 30% of the cholera case burden? And that models extreme cholera months. And then actually to model more extreme cholera months, within the same monthly rate, I looked at just the top 15%, and the bottom 15%, and then obviously the middle 60%, to sort of look at low cholera burden, medium cholera burden, and high cholera burden. So the explanatory variables that I went over before are the sea surface temperature, height, ocean chlorophyll, rainfall, temperature, and river discharge. These are variables were also tested for their lag effects, and they were all aggregated for their monthly mean values. The reason actually why I looked at the lag effects is that in thinking about a predictive model, it would be great if we could know in March whether we were going to have a higher cholera burden in May. So I realize that the numbers are really small here, but I promise that my results are in triplicate. So what you can't read here, you can read in the next two slides. So what this says is that the significant predictors of cholera were ocean chlorophyll, the ocean chlorophyll lag from 2 months previous, the mean clean tidal discharge at Barrabe and at Demra. And you can also see, looking here, is that the ocean chlorophyll and its lag had a positive effect, which means that an increase in either of those two variables would increase the likelihood of a severe cholera outbreak. In juxtaposition, the discharge at Barrabe or Demra had a negative effect, which means that as those increased, that the likelihood of a cholera outbreak decreased. Then what I did actually was look at the marginal effect, which is a hypothetical increase in one standard deviation of these variables would have what effect on cholera severity. And what we can see here is that for an increase in one standard deviation in ocean chlorophyll concentration, it decreases the likelihood of a low cholera outbreak, or increases the likelihood of a high outbreak. And its lag effect, which I think actually is probably the most important, is that as ocean chlorophyll concentration increases, the probability of a high cholera outbreak 2 months later increases by 24.5 percentage points, which is, I think, a dramatic difference. Just to look again at the discharge, it also has a positive influence on it being in low, which means that as discharge goes up, the increase of a very low severity cholera outbreak increases. This is just to show you where those discharge stations are, that they're above the study area, which you can sort of imagine how increased discharge there might decrease cholera if we were talking about a dilution effect. So the summary findings from Bangladesh are that increases in ocean chlorophyll appear associated with increased cholera severity, and the increases in ocean chlorophyll from 2 months previous, the lag effects, also increase. And that actually is probably the most important finding for an early warning system. And that increases in river discharge appear to have a dilution effect, because as they increase, the likelihood of a high cholera outbreak are reduced. So let's talk briefly about Vietnam as well. Vietnam suffers from some of the same sanitation problems as Bangladesh. Here's like a very nicely built latrine going directly into their bathing water. And this is just an indication of the brackish, sort of dirty and infested waters in one of Vietnam's largest cities in Nha Trang itself. These are the two study sites, Hue and Nha Trang. Hue actually has about 5 kilometers of estuary between its location in the sea, and Nha Trang is directly on the ocean. So Vietnam, the explanatory variables are exactly the same. The only difference is that in Vietnam, that I looked at just a dichotomous cholera variable. And this is because cholera in Hue exists or it doesn't exist. There's no sort of low, medium, or high. It's either there or it's not. So looking at the local environmental influences in Hue, we can see what's significant is river height, sea surface temperature, and the sea surface height lag, and rainfall. And looking at the sign here, we can see that as river height increases, the likelihood of an outbreak decreases. As sea surface temperature increases, so does the likelihood of a cholera outbreak. And negative influences are also exhibited by sea surface height, its lag, and rainfall. So as those increase, the likelihood of a cholera outbreak decreases. And like I said, I'm modeling sort of the hypothetical probability of what would happen if these variables increased by standard deviation, and what would that effect be on cholera outbreaks. So the most interesting finding here is that for every 1 standard deviation increase in sea surface temperature, which I believe is right around 3.5 degrees, the likelihood of a cholera outbreak increases by 15 percentage points, which I think is probably the most interesting finding. Whereas as rainfall increased from 2 months previous, it decreases the likelihood, as we can see by the negative sign here, by 6.7 percentage points. So summary findings in Hue are that, similar to Bangladesh, the height of its river and its lag has a possible diluting effect on cholera. Increases in sea surface temperature, or sea surface height and rainfall, may also have a diluting effect, decreasing the risk of outbreak. But what I find most interesting is the effects of sea surface temperature appear to have an enhancing effect, increasing the likelihood of cholera outbreaks. This is perhaps most interesting sort of in the looking through the eyes of possible climate change, as we all think about the increasing sea surface temperature, that this could, if my results are correct, have a dramatic influence on cholera outbreaks in these areas. So then let's look briefly also at Nachang, which is the same thing. I modeled cholera in Nachang, also looking at just a dichotomous variable, whether cholera exists or not. You can see here that also there's either cholera or nothing. So cholera in Nachang, the variables that were significant here are monthly rainfall, the river height in both the two central rivers that flow through Nachang, the river height's two-month lag, and its discharge at Don Trang. What's interesting here is that all of these have a positive sign, meaning that an increase in any of these variables increases the likelihood of cholera. So the most influential here seems to be the Ninho River height, and as that river rises, the likelihood of a cholera outbreak increases by 14.3 percentage points. But also increases in rainfall, river height, and discharge all have a positive and significant effect on cholera probability. Almost all of them right around a 10 percentage point increase for every increase in one standard deviation. So what does this mean in Nachang? It means that unlike in Bangladesh or Hue, the effects of rain, river height, and discharge appear to have a positive effect, appear to increase the likelihood of a cholera outbreak. So as these variables increase, so does the probability of an outbreak, and this holds for the lag effect of river height as well. So these results were actually really unexpected and make me think that I might be doing something analytical that is incorrect. And if anyone would have an idea of what that would be, I would value your comments. But what they do suggest is an inundation effect. And that would mean that as sort of the river and the rain and other watery variables increase, that so does the likelihood of cholera. So why might my findings not be correct? Well, the data set is actually really small. Although I've got cholera data from Bangladesh from like 1962, and we're talking about every other week. I mean, this is the database from which my cholera variable comes is incredibly rich. But the satellite-derived variables, looking at these macro-level effects, are really only available from 1997. And because they're from satellites, anytime it's cloudy, I can't get a point. So the data set actually winds up being small, limiting its power. There might be significant interactions within these variables, and I didn't look at them, or I haven't looked at them yet. I think we probably are all familiar with aggregating by month and its reduction in variation, and because in Vietnam they really only created a database, they really only aggregated the variable by month, I can't do any better in Vietnam, and I sort of use that aggregate in Bangladesh. So future analysis in Bangladesh will probably at least be able to look at bi-monthly readings. And that because we're looking at these variables in space, there's always a risk of spatial and temporal autocorrelation, which means that these are not randomly distributed in space. And I did not look at that yet. The best thing that I did trying to sort of counteract this is that because I looked at within-month variation, I was sort of hoping to reduce the correlations between the variables. So the areas for further investigation, what we're actually looking at now are trying to address some of the high correlations. I mean, obviously, as rainfall increases, so does river discharge, so we're trying to dissect some of these influences. And we're trying to look at within-study site variation. This is actually possible in Bangladesh, but not in Vietnam. We don't have the data in Vietnam. But in Bangladesh, we're looking at within-study site variation based on a composite index of socioeconomic status. So we've just started this, seeing if whether it would actually be the climate that was influential or whether when it comes down to it, it's really all about their local level sanitation and water and wealth. And we're going to start doing a multi-level model looking at these influences, the relative influences of the neighborhood context, sort of the socioeconomic context, and comparing it with the climate effects. And then using GIS, using geographic information systems. We actually have in Bangladesh the data points for every single neighborhood that's been involved in the demographic and health survey in Matlab for households that have been involved since 1962, and their data points from 1996 on. So we have a really wealthy data set that I have not mined very well yet. So the conclusions are basically that local environmental factors have differential effects on cholera severity and outbreaks, both within and between study sites. This shows, obviously, that making a predictive model is going to be difficult because there are these variations between and among country-level effects. And so the prediction models, unlike what we would hope, may have to be dynamic and be created specifically for each study site. And that, as I said, some of these variables Could, if the analysis is correct, does that mean that climate change may affect these relationships, and as things like the sea warms and as ocean chlorophyll concentration increases, that we could be looking at an increase in cholera outbreaks in both Vietnam and Bangladesh? I think we're saving questions until the end. But thank you.